الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
Of course, إخوان. These type of gatherings, Ikhwan, we hasten to attend and we hasten to be in the presence of our Ahbab and our Ikhwa. Ikhwa, Ikhwan, that we have known many of them for many years, bal decades. And from you, some of you, I see faces that I've met relatively recently. And indeed, Ikhwan, our presence and the wujuh and the many faces that I see before me is an indication, Ikhwan, of the khair that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has instilled within our qulub and within our sudur a desire for khair, a love for khair, and a love to increase in khair, or a love to be reminded of the khair that we already know. That is indeed from the many blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us. Wallahi, Allah is kind. Allah Azza wa Jal is kind, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that indeed any individual, man ghada ila al-masjid, liyu'allim al-khayr, aw yata'allam al-khayr, aw yu'allimuhu, kana lahu ka ajri al-hajj at-tam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whomsoever sets out to the masjid to learn something of khair. And of course, Ikhwan, the khair is a reference to the whole of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. To learn something of khair or to teach something of khair, then for him is the ajab of hajj. The reward of hajj, tam, complete. And so, our gathering, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal, since we're in one of the houses from the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us, Ikhwan, with that ajr and with that reward. Each and every one of us is one that is toiling towards the time that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that toil, Ikhwan, we hope Allah Azza wa Jal rewards us for. And that toil, Ikhwan, each and every one of you knows how you have been met with trials and tribulations and afflictions and affairs that take you away from or cause you to stumble upon that path towards Allah Azza wa Jal. But that path of reality, Ikhwan, the ayyam wal layali, they continue to revolve. Day becomes night and night becomes day. And this reality continues with or without us. As Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, Ya ibn Adam, innama anta ayyam. Son of Adam, indeed you are nothing but days. Every day that passes, a part of you disappears. Ya ayyuhal insan, Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us, mankind, you are toiling. إِنَّكَ كَادِهٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. That you indeed are toiling, traveling towards Allah with toil, and you will meet Him. And so this meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal, Ikhwan, is inevitable. The days will continue when we are gone. They continued before our presence and will continue after we expire. And there is no doubt that each and every one of us has an expiry date. Something that we have to honestly conversate with ourselves about. That there is a day that is coming that we will expire. And as we've mentioned, Ikhwan, in other gatherings, consider yourself, Ikhwan, with a mountain beside you. Just picture yourself with a mountain beside you. And picture this gathering, this gathering of Ikhwa now, and all of these brothers, if you could imagine, and all of them have a mountain beside them. And these mountains are of different sizes. And the mountain, ayyuhal ikhwa, without doubt, is one's risk. That mountain is a reference to one's risk. Each and every one of us has a determined amount that you will receive, and it will differ from individual to individual. Some may have a huge mountain beside them, some a smaller one, and some just a mound. And when you consume that mountain, then your time has come and your expiry date has arrived. That is our reality. And so the believer is the one that recognizes that his time is short. And we've said time and time again, look, ikhwan, at the days that Allah Azza wa Jal and the period of time that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. And look at the reality of the period. The average lifespan is 60 to 70 years, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. If the average lifespan is 60 to 70 years, and the average period of sleep for most people, or should be, yuqal, and is what we're told, should be 8 hours. Alaysa kadhalik. And 8 is, in terms of 24, is how much? Test your maths now. Huh? In terms of percentage, huh? It's a third. It's a third of 24. And so if we sleep the average period, if we sleep the average period, ikhwan, that is allotted, or the average period that we recommended to sleep, which is 8 hours, then one third of your life has gone in sleep alone. One third of that 60. And then if you consider the fact that most people work perhaps some 6 hours of the day, that is another percentage gone. And then those hours for quality time, another huge percentage that disappears. Very little time left, ikhwan, to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to win. Because that is what the believer is trying to do. The believer is trying to win within this terrible dunya. This dunya, ikhwan, that is filled with toil and difficulty and hardship. And so when we look then, and that which is related to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us and reminds us of the fact that we were nothing. That we were nothing. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ هِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهَرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has not a period come to mankind, a period of time when he was nothing, not even mentioned? And that is either if you look at Abana Adam, our father Adam, or if you look at yourself, as far as Adam is concerned, then Allah Azza wa Jal is eternal. Allah Azza wa Jal has no beginning, ayyuha ikhwa, no end. And that is something that is impossible for us to fathom. That Allah Azza wa Jal has always existed. Look then and consider the period, the eternal period that occurred before the creation, before Allah Azza wa Jal chose to create Adam. Are we saying that there was no creation before Adam? La. Of course, the belief of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah is that Allah Azza wa Jal is, from his names, is Al-Khaliq and Al-Khallaq Al-Aleem. Al-Khallaq, which is Sighat, Mubalagha. Ya'ani that Allah Azza wa Jal does it plentifully. He is the most knowledgeable creator that creates plentifully. And so, as Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah and others have mentioned, it is not our belief that Allah Azza wa Jal, since eternity, has created nothing and then created this creation. Well, that is a discussion for another day, ikhwan. The point is, Adam in particular, Allah Azza wa Jal, look at the period, the eternal period of time that occurred and that existed before Adam was even mentioned. Before Adam was a creation. Then Allah Azza wa Jal chose to create Adam. And Allah Azza wa Jal informs us of the creation of mankind. That indeed we created Adam, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, we created mankind. Firstly, Allah mentions min turab. And then elsewhere, min nutfatin amshajin nabtali, faja'alnahu sami'an basira. Firstly, mankind was created from turab. And so, the affair of the creation from turab, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions yani sulala in some places, elsewhere amshaj. And so the scholars of tafsir, they mention, as occurs in the Fathul Qadir of Imam al-Shawkani, that Adam was created, as occurs in an authentic hadith, that Adam was created from different turab, from different parts of the earth. And then from the scholars of Lugha are those who mention that this sulala is that a person takes soil and that he squeezes it in his hand until the moisture from that soil, yani that it comes from between the fingers. And that is not something that one, of course, attributes to Allah Azza wa Jal, but that is the meaning of the word in the Lugha. So he was created from a mixture of differing soils. Then as occurs in the hadith of Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that initially when Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam, he created his carcass before the soul was blown into him. And so the shaitan came to him and he began to circumambulate and circle the carcass that was without the soul, the carcass of Adam. And he looked inside him, and when he saw that he was hollow, he knew that he would be easily tempted. Then he mentions that when Allah Azza wa Jal blew the soul into Adam and he became life, that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam sneezed. And he said, Alhamdulillah. And the malaika that were present after his creation and after him being given life, the malaika, they said, Yarhamuka Allah. And then he was commanded to go over and to give them salam. He went over to them and gave them salam. And then they responded to his salam. And then he was shown his offspring. And among them, there was an individual with a beautiful, radiant face. And so he said, who is this? And it was said that he's Adam. He's Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so he said, then give him 60 years, and I believe some riwayat mentioned 50 years of my life. And so he gave him from his own life. And so when the angel of death came to him to take his soul, he said, but I have life remaining. Allah Azza wa Jalla was taught thee and shown the nature of all things. Adam was shown the nature of all things. He said, I have life left. He said, no, you gave it to Dawood. Adam, alayhi salatu salam, he forgot. And so the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَنَسِيَا, and so he forgot, and so his offsprings will forget. And thus we have the statement of the great Sahabi al-Jaleel Abdullah ibn Abbas, Al-insan, sumi al-insan likathratin nisyan. That indeed insan is referred to as insan because of him forgetting, from him having nisyan, forgetfulness plentifully. And that is one of the traits that the Messenger of Allah informed our father Adam had. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us of the origin. Before you were known, the origin then of your existence, first and foremost is turab. There and after, of course, procreation occurred by way of nutfa. And Allah Azza wa Jal informs us of that as occurs in Surah Al-Hajj. Allah Azza wa Jal, after mentioning that from mankind are those who argue concerning Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal then goes on to describe or then mention and to establish a hujjah against those who argue against Allah and argue concerning Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas, إِن كُنْتَ فِي رَيْبٍ مِنَ الْبَعْثِ. O mankind, if you are in doubt concerning the Ba'ath, concerning the resurrection, فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم من علقة ثم من مضغة مخلقة وغير مخلقة لنبين لكم ونقر في الأرحام ما نشاء. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, oh mankind, if you are in doubt concerning the resurrection, then know that we created you from soil, from dirt, from turab, then from semen, then from an alaqa, from a clinging clot, then from a mudgha, from a substance or from flesh that resembles something chewed. Mukhallaqatin wa ghayri mukhallaqa. Some of them having form and some of them unformed. لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ In order to make clear to you. وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءَ And we will cause to remain in the womb that which we will until a determined decree. Then you will come out طِفْلَا You will come out as children. You come out as children. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and from you are those who yatawaffa. From you are those who pass away. And from you are those who yuraddu ila ardhal al-umur likay la ya'lama min ba'di ilmin shay'a. From you are those who return back to an elderly age and to a weak age. Ya'ani, that you return back to a state where you're just like a child. Not knowing anything after having ilm. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions our reality. Then Allah Azza wa Jal strikes a second example. He said, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءِ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ وَأَنْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ Then you will likewise see the earth. It is dead. And dry, and then when we send water down upon it, it begins to move and shake. And that is something, Ikhwan, if you were to look at a time lapse video of a seed that is sown and then sprouts, you literally see the earth shaking as the sprout bursts through the ground. As it bursts through the ground, you see the ground shaking. In the time-lapse video. اهتزت وربت وأنبتت من كل زوج بهيج. And then you will see that it sends forward every type of vegetation in pairs. Then Allah Azza wa Jal establishes the truth. A poignant, powerful statement. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل وأن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها وأن الله يبعث من في القبور That is because Allah Azza wa Jal is al-haq. Not which they call upon besides Allah is batil, reality. How can something that does not bring life, create, give life, sustain, give risk, how can it possibly be worshipped? Allah Azza wa Jal is al-haq. And everything that is called upon besides Allah is a batil. And that is why you have many arguing to try and establish the fact, whether it is those who worship Isa bin Maryam, try and establish that Isa had a share in creation. Because the one that truly has the right to be worshipped is the one that created. But Allah Azza wa Jal alone is al-haq. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ And that which is called upon besides Allah is batil. And that Allah Azza wa Jal is ala kulli shay'in qadir. That Allah has ability over everything. And that the hour is coming. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا And there is no doubt concerning it. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ That Allah Azza wa Jal will resurrect those who are in the grave.
And so the resurrection from the grave, ikhwan, is something that we have to prepare for. This resurrection, ikhwan, the salaf of this ummah, they would speak about it. The sahaba, the tabi'een, the atba' tabi'een. And there are many lines of poetry in relation to it. تجهز إلى الأجداث ويهك والرمس. Prepare yourself for the أجداث ويهك والرمس. جهازا من التقوى لأطول ما حبسي. A preparation of taqwa for the longest period of confinement that is coming to you. Every one of us sitting here living and breathing, we will soon be within the graves, beginning that long period of confinement. That is a reality. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي. For indeed you do not know. إِن كُنْتَ مُصْبِحًا بِأَحْسَنِ مَا تَرْجُو لَعَلَّكَ لَا تُمْسِي. That indeed you do not know. If you have seen the morning, yani you're awake and you're alive, بِأَحْسَنِ مَا تَرْجُو, in the best state, لَعَلَّكَ لَا تُمْسِي, perhaps you will not see the evening. A reality. سَأُطْعِبُ نَفْسِي كي أسادف راحة فإن هوان النفس أكرم للنفس. Indeed, I shall strive against my soul in order to receive the real rest, the real reward. For indeed, belittling the soul is better for it. That is a reality. Belittling the soul is better for it. Overpowering the soul. And that occurs likewise in some lines of poetry attributed to Ali ibn Abi Talib. وَالنَّفْسُ تَعْلَمُ أَنِّي لَا أُصَدِّقُهَا وَلَسْتُ. He said, he mentioned that the soul knows that I don't believe it. I don't accept what it says. Yani what it tells me, what it commands me with. And I will not rest illa hina a'siha, except, and I receive no yani reward or khair or good, except when I disobey it. Reality of the soul. And so here he mentions fa inna hawana nafsi akramu lin nafsi, that indeed belittling the soul is better for the soul. وَأَزْهَدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And indeed, I will seek zuhud from the dunya. Yeah, and you seek zuhud from the difficulties of the dunya. فَإِنَّ مُقِيمَهَا كَظَاعِنٍ أَنْهَا مَا أَشْبَهَ الْيَوْمُكَ بِالْأَمْسِ. He said, I indeed will refrain from the dunya, because indeed remaining within it is the same as the one who travels from it. That is, you should consider yourself a traveler within it. And of course, you're familiar with the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who mentioned irtahalati dunya mudbiran wa irtahalati al-akhiratu muqbilan wa li kulli wahidin minhuma baneen. He said that indeed the dunya is traveling away from us, and the akhirah is traveling towards us. Both of them have children. Yani the dunya and the akhirah. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَالْيَوْمُ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. So be from the children of the akhirah and do not be from the children of the dunya. Because today there is reckoning, there is action and no reckoning, and tomorrow there is reckoning and no more action. And so this title, ikhwan, may sound gharib, may sound strange to some of the ikhwa, unknown and again unknown, but that is our reality. Our reality is we were once unknown before we came into the dunya. If you're 25 years old, 26 years ago, you were unknown. If you're 45 years old, 46 years ago, you were unknown. And the high likelihood is that you were not even considered. Reality, you were not even considered. And most people who have children, there isn't a long drawn out plan for the child. His wife just tells him, I'm pregnant. I'm late. Umas. And there's a child on the way. The reality is, most people, there's no long drawn out plan. You just happened, Abdullah. You occurred. Of course, your parents loved you and they didn't reject you and it was all khair and what have you. Lakin, there was no real long drawn out plan for your existence. So if you're 25, the likelihood is 26 years ago, you were unknown and unthought of. If nobody mentioned it, I'd say it to you now. You were unknown. And most likely unthought of. And there is a period, Ikhwan, where you will return back to being unknown. That is, there will be people who come into the dunya, who live in the exact same perimeter and the exact same vicinity that you used to live in, who most likely will not know you after your death. Those who know you are those who will remember you when you were alive and they were alive at the same time as you. But the likelihood is, if anyone exists after your death, then those individuals will not know you. Someone will have to tell them, there was a man that used to live here and so on. And so what is it, Ikhwan, that the people will say about you after your death? Let us consider that. And of course, Ikhwan, our actions are not to be spoken of or to be seen, walakin the good dhikr, the good remembrance, the good mention is an alama of khair, an alama of good. It is a sign that there's some khair. There is a sign that you were sincere. It's a sign that Allah Azza wa Jal perhaps accepted your actions. Now we mention Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. What was it that Imam Al-Bukhari said? What was the book that Imam Al-Bukhari laid down? What were the conditions of Bukhari within his book? Look at the mention Imam Al-Bukhari has to this day, 2026. When Imam Al-Bukhari was writing his Sahih, the likelihood, again, we can only work with likelihoods. The likelihood is probably, he probably thought the book would last 50 years, 100 years maybe. And most people who write an authorship, how long will that authorship actually exist and be in circulation? It is for the immediate benefit of those who are alive at my time, but how long is that going to exist? Did Al-Imam Al-Bukhari believe and think that some 1100 years later, over 1000 years after he wrote that book, under candlelight most likely, that 1000 years later, in some far off western land, that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, his book would be studied and that his conditions would be considered and that the people would still have haiba for the kalam and the speech of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari 1,000 years later. Al-Imam Al-Nawawi, when he wrote Riyad al-Salihin, did he believe that Riyad al-Salihin was going to last this long? Collection of ahadith that were not even his, he didn't even take. He himself, not like Sahih al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari, he traveled the dunya and gathered those ahadith. Al-Imam al-Bukhari collected from those sources. Of course, they had isnad, al-Imam al-Nawawi had isnad for those ahadith likewise. Lakin the book itself collected from those sources. Did al-Imam al-Nawawi consider that it was going to last this long? Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, when you look at his legacy, is it something that he believed would have lasted this long? Allah Azza wa Jal continues their good praise, their good mention among the people and among the believers. And that without doubt, ikhwan, it is from Allah. And that is an alama and an indication of khair. And so, what is it then? that we intend when we say ikhwan that we wish and we hope for good mention. That is that we hope that Allah Azza wa Jal writes us among those who carry out actions whose and those actions remain. Carry out a'mal and those a'mal have an effect, those actions have an effect upon the people even after our death. And that then is what we want to try, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, and look at in today's session. In today's session, ikhwan, we want to look at a beautiful hadith and a dua in actuality of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that encapsulates the topic nicely, ikhwan. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a cousin, the hadith of Abi Huraira sallallahu alayhi radiallahu anhu, hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, wherein Abi Huraira, he mentioned, kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or kana rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, and he mentions here that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say. The scholars, they mention this statement, kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaf'al, wa kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, that the Messenger of Allah used to. That this is a reference to al-istimrar. Ya'ani that this was something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously did. That he continuously carried out. That he continuously performed. And so it was something that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to regularly say. And that is that he would say. And it is a dua, ikhwan, that we should strive to memorize, to put to memory. For those of you who may have caught some of those sessions that we did around the talib ilm, one of the methods, ayyuhal ikhwatun kiram, that we mentioned is a beneficial method in memorization, is a method that is referred to as tariq al-khamsiniya, and it is a method that is utilized by the people of Shinqit, yani those who are well known for their memory, the Mauritanians. And the tariq al-khamsiniya is that they would repeat that which they wish to memorize 50 times. And that 50, those 50 repetitions were done by repeating the said, whether it is verse or page or yani hadith or whatever the case may be, that they would start with salat al-fajr, then dhuhr, then asr, then Maghrib, then Isha. And after each salah, they would repeat it 10 times. The reason that you are and you have the likes of Surah Al-Fatiha and some of the smaller surah of the Quran as tight as you do, yani it is though it is chiseled in rock, is because of the fact that you repeat it so much. And so, repetition, ikhwan, is the path and the method of the people of knowledge in the past, and continue to be the method of memorization for the people of knowledge of present. And so one of the methods, ikhwan, that I would advise you, you can do it in one sitting, or you could spread it across the day, is this repetition. 40, 50 times, 60 times. Yeah, and don't look at a hadith really once or twice and believe you have it. That is our problem. The mushkila that we have being raised in the West and educated in the West is that we're educated on a system that educates us upon formulas. The formula for this is that, and the formula for that is this. Remember the formula, and you're good to go. Ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, we no doubt have to adjust our method of learning. One of the most important elements that we need to incorporate into our corpus is that which is related to hifdh. And hifdh, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, is repetition. And so these ahadith, these dua, don't say that alhamdulillah, you know, alhamdulillah, I know what I know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not really that good at memorizing, and others are better than me. The only issue is they are trained. They continue to train themselves. Everyone's brain has the capacity. If you repeat something enough times, you will memorize it. And so that is no doubt what we advise our brothers with memorization, ikhwan. To repeat the likes of these ad'iya and the likes of these du'a. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to supplicate, O Allah,
And this this supplication, it begins with Allahumma. Allahumma. Now, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi used to say, Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi huwa ismatu amri. Oh Allah azza wa jal, aslih li dini. Look at the message of Rasulullah in this dua. He begins, and throughout the dua he speaks of islah, rectification. Rectification, ikhwan, which is what we need. That each and every one of us, ikhwan, needs to rectify, whether it is the affairs of his deen, the affairs of his dunya. He needs to rectify and get himself right with Allah Azza wa Jal. And if there's a message that we should walk away with today, it is that we must get ourselves, we need to get ourselves right with Allah. Here the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages his ummah with that. And that is in this supplication. Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi huwa ismatu amri. Oh Allah, rectify for me my deen, the likes of which is ismatu amri. Ismatu amri is something that preserves and protects. Something that is a isma is something that preserves and protects. And so he began with the affair of the religion, with the affair of the deen. Allahumma aslih li dini. Oh Allah, rectify for me my deen, which is the thing that guards and protects all of my affairs. Your deen guards and protects all of your affairs. He mentions, waslih li dunyai, and rectify for me my dunya. Rectify for me my dunya. Alladhi fiha ma'ashi, that has within it all wherein I live. Ya'ani, the dunya that I exist, the dunya that I am present within and cannot escape from. Rectify it for me. Rectify it for me. Na'am. He said, waslih li akhirati allati fiha ma'adi, and rectify for me my akhirah, rectify for me my hereafter, that has in it all that within it is my return. Akhirah, wherein we will be rectified and returned, either upon khair if you're a believer, or upon the worst form of shar, if one is a disbeliever. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would supplicate concerning his life within the dunya. وَاجْعَلِ الْحَيَاةَ زِيَادَةً لِي فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَالْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لِي مِن كُلِّ شَرٍ. He then would end the dua by saying, and make my life an increase for me in every good, and my death a rest for me from every evil. Beautiful dua, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to supplicate with. And so if we look at that which is present within the meaning of the dua, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, no doubt we have the most beautiful ma'ani. As far as the beginning of the statement, Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi hiya ismatu amri, huwa ismatu amri. Oh Allah, rectify for me my deen, that in it is the protection of my affair. Then there is no doubt that our life, was having a good life in the dunya, revolves around, ikhwan, the establishment of our deen. Many of us, ikhwan, we constantly say that, you know, subhanallah, it doesn't matter what I do, nothing just seems to work out for me. And it's always, every time, even when it looks like something is about to manifest of khair, or I'm getting somewhere, and if something occurs, something hits me back, something, it's just evil eye as far as I'm concerned. Nine times out of ten, we return it back to the evil eye. Ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, then no doubt Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that rectifies the dunya of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that rectifies the affairs of the dunya, of the people. And Allah azza wa jal has mentioned
in relation to the one who lives in this life upon iman, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We shall give him a good life. The one who lives upon iman, righteous action and iman, we shall give him a good life. And even when we have calamities and even when we have trials, those trials are bearable. Those trials, ikhwan, we deal with them with ease. Allah Azza wa Jal makes them easy for us. But then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَاكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, whomsoever turns away from my remembrance, then he will have a wretched existence. And we will raise him on the day of judgment, a'ma, blind. And he will say, oh my Lord, why have you raised me blind when I used to be able to see? And Allah Azza wa Jal, it will be said to him, just as when you were alive, that my ayat came to you and you forgot them. فَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Today, likewise, you will be forgotten. And so here Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that the ayat came to them. And that is the case with us. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with His ayat, blessed us with his deen. If we forget and abandon those ayat, ayyuhal ikhwa, then no doubt that which came to them will come to us. Know that Allah Azza wa Jal informs us of the affair of Bani Israel and that which occurred with them in order to be a reminder to us. In order to be a reminder, na'am, you're going to become weak, na'am, you're going to slip, na'am, you're going to fall. But know, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, that the best of you and the best of those who are those who constantly turn in repentance. Quickly, sur'an, with quick effect, one should return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With quick effect, with immediacy. You don't know when the angel of death is going to come to you. You don't know when Allah Azza wa Jal is going to take your soul. With quick effect, hasten back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah and with regret. And the asl and the origin of tawbah is regret. Not just that you utter some words and that you continue. Rather, the origin and the asl of tawbah is regret. Truly regret what you've done. Truly be remorseful for what you have done. And by Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal may forgive you without you even uttering tawbah or statements of istighfar. That Allah Azza wa Jal sees from you regret, Allah Azza wa Jal may forgive you without you uttering a word. And that is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah. That from the individuals, and one of the reasons that we don't make takfir of Sahibul Kabira, is because of the fact that, or takfir of the one who commits a major sin, with the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, is because of the fact that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions, and he mentions a number of varying ways that Allah Azza wa Jal may forgive an individual. That Allah Azza wa Jal may forgive him, even without him making tawbah. Yani, without him uttering tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jal may overcome him with mercy and forgive him. Entering Jannah, ikhwan, is not an exchange for the actions that we do. Neither is entering the hellfire in exchange for that which we have performed. Allah Azza wa Jal will choose and will decide who should be forgiven and who should enter the hellfire. Understand that. None of you, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, none of you will enter Jannah by way of his actions. وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَلَكِنْ سَدِّدُوا. Prophet ﷺ, he said, none of you will enter Jannah by way of your deeds. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, not even me. Except that Allah Azza wa Jal overcomes me with His mercy. وَلَكِنْ سَدِّدُوا. But do that which is right. Ya'ani, strive to be good. Strive to do that which is right. As the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, that as it relates to the affair of this deen, that Allah Azza wa Jal, because in the hadith of Abi Hurairah, إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ وَلَنْ يُشَادَّ دِينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَ فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغُدْوَةِ وَالرَّوْحَ وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّنْجَى. The religion is ease. It is an easy deen. Allah Azza wa Jal, as Imam al-Shatibi has mentioned in al-Muwafaqat, when he discusses the affair of takleef,
which is a term that the scholars of Usul discuss. When it comes, Ikhwan, to the actions of the servant, the servant is referred to as mukallaf, that is, he is bound by the sharia. But the term taklif has within it the meanings of difficulty or hardship, a level of difficulties upon him. And Imam Shatibi, he mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated upon you, Ya Abdullah. He has legislated upon you the level of this, a similar level of difficulty that you carry out or that you have when you carry out your ordinary mundane affairs. There is a similar level of difficulty upon you. But here Allah Azza wa Jal wants to take you from the worship of the khalq, of the creation, of your nafs and of yourself to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not by legislating upon you something that is too difficult for you to bear. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned throughout the Quran that indeed, لا يكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Azza wa Jal will not bear burden of a soul with more than it can bear. And Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated ahkam, but throughout those ahkam, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج. Allah Azza wa Jal does not want to put haraj upon you, difficulty upon you. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah wants ease for you, He doesn't want hardship for you. يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم. Allah wants to lighten the burden from you. وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا. And indeed, mankind was created weak. So Allah Azza wa Jal does not want to place upon you a burden that is more difficult for you to bear. Allah has given you and revealed a deen that is manageable. A deen that every single one of us can carry out. But be easy, Yahi. Be easy. Carry out that which Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated upon you. The intent is longevity. That you continue upon this path. That you will continue upon the deen. Don't make the affair harder upon you than Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated. And woe. Thumma woe to the one who makes affairs difficult upon the believers. And so this deen that they're trying to continue to practice because of you, this deen now becomes difficult for them. You've added a burden. You've added a level of hardship that was previously not present. But because of you, either something that you've said or something that you continue to do, or something that you command them with that is not from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, the deen becomes difficult and hard for them. When Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu was leading the people and his recitation in the salah was lengthy, such that some of the companions wanted to sit or wanted to leave the salah, and they went and complained to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he became angry, and the narrator mentions that by Allah, I have never seen him that angry before. And he said to Mu'adh, Afattanun ya Mu'adh? Are you a person of fitna? You're a fitna maker, O Mu'adh? Yani you're creating a fitna and a difficulty upon the believers that Allah Azza wa Jal has not placed upon them. There is a level of difficulty already present. Leave the level of, don't make it harder, leave the level of difficulty where it is. We want the people to enter the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal afwaja. That they enter and that they tell their friends and that they spread it and they love it. We want them to enter a deen that they love and enjoy. Not a deen, Ikhwan, that becomes difficult, not because of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has made it difficult, but because of your jahl. But because of your ignorance. Al-jahlu. داء قاتل وشفاؤه أمران في التركيب متفقان نص من الكتاب أو من السنة وطبيب ذلك العالم الرباني. جهل is a disease, a sickness that kills. وشفاؤه, but its cure, أمران في التركيب متفقان, are two affairs that come together in تركيب, that are arranged together. Text from the book and a text from the sunnah. وطبيب, the doctor, is ذلك العالم الرباني. If you don't know, then keep your mouth shut. Don't speak without jahl. Don't speak without ilm.
Need glasses.
Don't speak without ilm, yahi. You speaking without ilm is creating problems for the people. You speaking without knowledge is making affairs difficult. Ayyuha al-ikhwatul kiram. Na'am. And so, the affair of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a deen that is easy. Don't you be then a key that cuts off khayr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that indeed, min al-nasi mafatihun lil khayr, maghaliqun lil shar, wa min al-nasi maghaliqun lil khayr, mafatihun lil shar. فطوبى لمن جعله مفتاحا للخير وويل لمن جعله مفتاحا للشر. That Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that indeed from the people are those who are keys to good and those who shut off evil. And from the people are those who are keys to evil and those who shut off good. And so glad tidings for the one who Allah Azza wa Jal makes a key to good and wail. And some mentioned that wail is a valley in the hellfire, though that is not established by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But woe to the one who is a key to shar, a key to evil. Na'am, and of course the one who is a key to evil oftentimes doesn't consider himself a key to evil. And he, just as occurred with the munafiqoon. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. When it is said to them that verily we are, don't cause corruption in the earth, what is it they say? نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. No, we're bringing about Islah, rectification. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ. Indeed, they are the mufsidun, but indeed they do not know. So don't you be from them, أيها الإخوة الكرام. Na'am, and so the affair then, the Prophet ﷺ revolved the whole of this dua around islah, rectification. Rectification of the deen, rectification of the dunya, and rectification of that which is related to the akhirah. Now, and so with that being said, we should know that nobility is no doubt, ikhwan, with ta'atillah. Nobility, sharaf, is with being obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that nobility comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. So this nobility, ayyuhal ikhwat al-kiram, it comes from rectification. And that is something that we should constantly strive with and strive against ourselves upon. And so the first port of call for that rectification is rectification, ayyuhal ikhwat al-kiram, of the qalb. Rectification of that mudgha. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha salahat salah al jasadu kullu wa idha fasadat fasad al jasadu kullu ala wa hiya al qalb." Indeed, in the heart there is, or in the body there is a morsel. If it is sound, then the whole of the body is sound. And if it is corrupt, the whole of the body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. And here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated clearly that the heart may be rectified. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ. Na'am, that it is not to say then that a person reaches a level or his heart reaches a stage that's it, خلاص, heart finish. And so we pass a verdict upon the heart of the man, يَعَنِي إِلَىٰ أَبَدَ الْآبِدِينَ. The heart, ikhwan, as long as they are alive, and as long as Allah Azza wa Jalla has not sealed them, then they are rectifiable. And that, no doubt, requires a number of things. It requires that the individual desires and wishes to rectify his heart. And ideally that he has individuals around him that help him to do so. Rectification of the heart, ikhwan, then, is something that revolves around a number of affairs. And from the greatest of the things that rectify the heart is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hear it, we say it, we hear it, ikhwan, but we never do it, rarely. And that is regular recitation
of the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, even if it is 10 minutes a day. Regular recitation of the book of Allah. In it is shifa. And in it is a cure and a purification and a rectification of that which is in the heart. Rectify the heart with the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That heart, ikhwan, just as over time it became corrupt, over time it will likewise be purified. No doubt the salaf of this ummah, from them, Fudayl and Sufyan al-Thawri, he mentions, as it relates to the statement of Allah, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that indeed their hearts have become darkened because of what they have earned. He spread out his hand and he said that the heart is, or imagine that the heart is within this palm. When an individual commits a sin, this happens. Then when he commits another sin, this happens. Then when he commits another sin, this happens. Then when he commits another sin, this happens. When he commits another one, this happens. Until رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, until darkness covers the heart because of what it has earned. And so just the same way that darkness covered the heart on the basis of incremental changes, similarly they may be reversed. And they are reversed with tawbah. They are reversed with righteous action. They are reversed with the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is reversed with qira'atul Qur'an. It is reversed with al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar. It is reversed with sitting with the people of khair and in the jalasat of good and of khair. It is reversed slowly but surely. Anytime you carry out a righteous action, something of that darkness is purified and cleaned. Something of that ran is reversed. And so we have the cure, ikhwan. We have to nukthir minhu and be abundant in it and with it. Regardless of what the people wish to say, you know your own reality. And that is why the reality of this hadith should cause each and every one of us to really evaluate himself. That is, evaluate his heart in terms of siha and marad. In terms of sound and healthiness and marad. Honestly, sit with yourself and ask yourself, where am I in that regard? Where is my heart? Where is my heart? And just ask yourself some honest questions. Where in the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a sound heart and 1 being a sick heart, close to death, where is my heart on that scale? And if I'm not ranking well, I'm not doing well, why am I not doing well? What has caused? Because for the most part, initially when we start practicing, mashallah, Allahumma barik, ya'ani, the heart, ya'ani, iman wants to burst through the chest. But then over time, shaitan takes a, ya'ani, shaitan will, he'll wait, and he'll study that which is related to you and those things that you incline towards, that he can pounce upon you by way of those things. And so, in order to reverse that darkness, we must look back and we must be retrospective and ask ourselves, where did it begin? How did it begin? What was the opening? And then make conscientious moves to shut those doors. And that some of those affairs, ikhwan, just the same way the shaitan stripped us, ya'ani, the sunnah after salah, waking up early in the morning, ikhwan, just like that. No alarm or anything, just wake up just in time for fajr. Ya'ani, the body clock was set for ibadah, miswak, ya'ani, upon khair. Look at how the shaitan slowly but surely reversed the affair. Stripped you of those things. You must reverse that. You must make an effort to reverse that. Start upon yourself.
Start with those things that you can implement right now. It could be the adhkar, it could be dhikr, it could be your nawafil, it could be the rawatib after the salah. Start, ikhwan. Take those baby steps. Just the same way you were slowly stripped, the same similarly, you can similarly reverse it. But this time you'll be more diligent. This time you'll be better. This time you'll be observant of the fact that they were stripped from you and you didn't even realize. Now, Aman, so the first thing then that we look at is a rectification of the heart. It occurs in a hadith that is sahih, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. He said that indeed the heart of the believer will not be recognized, or the iman of the believer will not be rectified except when his heart is rectified. And his heart will not be rectified except when his tongue is rectified. And so one of the ways and one of the methods and means of rectifying the heart is to begin with the tongue. Yani, stop talking foolishness, yahi. Leave it alone. Stop singing songs and mimicking rappers and yani, memorizing those verses. Yani, reverse that. Memorize the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. How much you have left? Reverse that, ikhwan. Replace those verses. Replace those bars with dhikr, with verses. Replace the lyrics from that song with the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Replace that with khair. Replace those sittings of ghiba and namima with sittings of qira'ah from the kutub of the salaf, and looking at the athar and the narrations of the salaf, and looking at ilm and sitting with ilm. All of these affairs, ikhwan, are hugely important. Majorly important. What we utter upon the tongue has an effect upon the heart. The second means, ayyuhal ikhwa, of course, ikhwan, is from the means that I'm sure you were expecting to hear, and that is that which is related ikhlas, sincerity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But not just ikhlas, ayyuhal ikhwa, al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'a. That is, ikhlas and sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jal, and mutaba'a, yani following of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a beautiful statement, and that is that he said, قال بعض السلف ما من فعلة وإن صغرت إلا ينشر لها ديوانان. He said that there is no deed, no matter how small, except that two registers are open for it. He mentions فالأول السؤال نعم عفوا he mentions لما وكيف لما وكيف why and how? Why and how? أي لما فعلت وكيف فعلت. That is, why did you do it and how did you do it? No action, regardless of how big or small the action is, except that these two things are asked, or two registers are open for that action. Why and how? He said, فالأول سؤال عن الإخلاص والثاني عن المتابعة. The first is a question about ikhlas, and the second is about mutaba'a. He said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا يَقْبَلُ عَمَلًا إِلَّا بِهِمَا فَطَرِيكَ التَّخَلُّسُ مِنَ السُّؤَالِ الْأَوَّلِ بِتَجْرِيدِ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَطَرِيكَ التَّخَلُّسُ مِنَ السُّؤَالِ الثَّانِي بِتَحْقِيكَ الْمُتَابَعَ. He said, the first then is a question about ikhlas, and the second is about following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept any action. Pay attention to this, ikhwan. Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept any action except with the two of them. Yani, except with ikhlas and mutaba'ah. It doesn't matter what the action is. If you want it to be accepted from Allah or by Allah as a righteous action and to be added to your scroll of good deeds, then it must fulfill these two affairs, these two conditions, al-ikhlas and al-mutaba'a. If any of them is missing, then know, ikhwan, that the deed is null and void. If the ikhlas is missing, then of course it falls into riya and shirk. And if mutaba'a is missing, then it falls into bid'ah. Now, as far then as the affair, ikhwan, of carrying out righteous actions, and this is an issue that we need to discuss. And that is one of the things that we need to consider, considering the fact that our lives are as short as they are, and our life within the dunya is as busy as it is, then it necessitates, ikhwan, that rather than working harder, though working harder, of course, is praiseworthy, but one of the things, ikhwan, one of the easiest ways that a person can increase in khair and can elevate is by working smarter. That is, he carries out actions, but he carries out actions based on fiqh and understanding. How does he work smarter? He works smarter by carrying out and focusing upon and being abundant with those actions that are small in terms of the action itself, but have abundant reward. Or those actions that if you do them, then they encompass more than other actions. And there are many actions like that. And we mentioned a number of them. Now, there are those actions, ikhwan, that are small. The action itself is small, but the reward is great. And you, I'm sure, will be familiar with the likes of the statement of Allah, kalimatani, khafifatani ala al-lisan, thaqilatani fil mizan, habibatani ala al-rahman, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. There are two kalima, or two words, the last hadith in Sahih Bukhari. There are two words that are light upon the tongue, heavy in the scales, and both beloved to Allah, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Ya'ani, here we have two words, easy to utter, but they're heavy in the scales. And the Prophet ﷺ was not just speaking metaphorically, they're heavy in the scales. And there is no doubt that from the belief of Ahlul Sunnah is that the scroll of deeds will be weighed. From the things that will be weighed Yawm Al-Qiyamah, we believe that the actions will be weighed, the scroll of deeds will be weighed, and the people likewise will be weighed. And so of course, the idea and the goal is to have each of those weighed things outweigh the scales and be heavy on the scales. And one of the means in which we will give our sahifa of good deeds weight is by carrying out these weighty actions. And some of them are easy. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Sahal maysur, something that is easy to recite. You could do it when you're at work, when you're on the bus, when you're at the job. And you're amounting these noble deeds that are heavy on the scale, that will weigh, make your scales or your scroll weighty. Likewise, that which occurs in the hadith of Juwayriyah, when Juwayriyah, after Salatul Fajr, she sat up until the time of Duha making the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Prophet went away and came back, and he said to her, saw her in the same place that he left her in at the time of Fajr. And so he said to her, "You're still here?" She said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." Then indeed I was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet said to her, "Laqad kultu ba'daki, I have said after you kalima, some words which if you were to weigh them against everything that you have said, they would outweigh them. Everything that you have said from Fajr up until now, it would outweigh them." He said, "Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adad khalqihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, zinata arshihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, rida nafsihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, midadu kalimati." Four words. But outweigh everything that she had made of dhikr from the time of salah, salatul fajr, up until the time of duha. Everything that she sat making mention of those four words outweigh them. Ba'al ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, I give you that which is greater than that. And that is the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, رضي الله عنه أن النعمان بن بشير he mentioned that indeed the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم أفوان أبو أمامة الباهلي that he mentioned that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he saw my lips moving and so he said what is it that you are saying he said I'm making dhikr of messenger of Allah he said then shall I not inform you of some words of dhikr which if you say them then it will be equivalent to you making dhikr all day and all night. Some words of dhikr. If you say them, it's equivalent to making dhikr all day and all night. And so he said, Bala ya Rasulallah. He said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him a dua and some supplication that outweighed everything that he was mentioning and that was equivalent to making dhikr all day. Now, and so the dua that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he taught Nu'man ibn Bashir, Abu Umama, he taught him the statement of the Messenger of Allah, Subhanallah, adada ma khalaq. Subhanallah, mil'a ma khalaq. Subhanallah, adada ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Subhanallah, mil'a ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Subhanallah, adada ma ahsa kitaba. Subhanallah, mil'a ma ahsa kitaba. Subhanallah, adada kulli shay. Subhanallah, mil'a kulli shay. It may sound like a lot, but all day, dhikr all day and all night, ikhwan, that you memorize some 8 or so sentences. Subhanallah, adada ma khalaq. Subhanallah, mil'a ma khalaq. Subhanallah, عدد ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. سبحان الله ملء ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. سبحان الله عدد ما أحصى كتابة. سبحان الله ملء ما أحصى كتابة. سبحان الله عدد كل شيء. سبحان الله ملء كل شيء. And he said, say the same with Alhamdulillah and the same with Allahu Akbar. يعني Allahu Akbar عدد ما خلق Allahu Akbar ملء ما خلق إلى آخر الدعاء. He said, and teach it to your children. And teach it to your children. One statement, if your child learns it, if you learn it, and you say it from the beginning of the day, it is equivalent to making dhikr all day and all night, continually. Continuously. And the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, ikhwan, is from the means of rectifying and purifying the heart. Indeed, greater than that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as occurs in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, and all of these ahadith, Sheikh Nasir authenticates, occurs in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, does not what or that indeed you have in the statements of Allah, at-tahmid, wa-tasbih, wa-takbir, that which Allah Azza wa Jal loves. Yani, these are statements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Yani, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allah loves them. He said, verily, when one of you utters them, then they ascend, yani these statements, these adhkar, these dhikr, forms of dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Each time you utter them, he said, they ascend into the heavens. And they circle the throne of Allah, and they resemble bees mentioning the name of the one who mentioned them. Would you then not wish to have one that mentions you with Allah? أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he said, when you mention those adhkar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, they ascend into the heavens and they encircle the throne of Allah and they sound like bees buzzing around the throne, mentioning the name of the one who uttered them. And will you not wish to have one who mentions him with Allah? Now, and so these actions, ayyuhal ikhwan, there are numerous actions. We mentioned some of them with something of swiftness, insha'Allah. Na'am, from the righteous actions, ayyuhal ikhwan, from the righteous actions that will cause us to work smarter, or will be from among those who carry out or are smarter in relation to the righteous actions that they perform. And this is something, ikhwan, that we hear in the world of business and trade. We have to trade smarter, work smarter. Na'am, our discussion is around worshipping smarter, being astute in relation to these actions that may be small, or it's one action that you perform, but it is and carries a great amount of reward. Na'am, from those actions is that which is related to husnul khuluq. And it is one that we belittle, ikhwana, one that we do not give enough importance to. Husnul khuluq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it relates to husnul khuluq, or good character, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occurs in the hadith of Abi Darda. He mentions, ma min shay'in yuda'u fil mizan athqalu min husnul khuluq. That there is nothing that is placed in the mizan, nothing that is placed in the scales, that is heavier than husn al-khuluq. He said, إِنَّ صَاحِبَ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ لَيَبْلُغُ بِهِ دَرَجَةِ صَاحِبَ السِّيَامَ أَوْ صَاحِبَ السَّوْمِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. He said, there is nothing heavier in the scales than husn al-khuluq, than having good character. Indeed, the person who has good character, then he reaches the level of those who fast and pray. Yani those who are regular and abundant in fasting and praying, just with husn al-khuluq, just with having righteous character, the one may achieve that level. Yani just his state alone causes him to achieve that level. And of course, husn al-khuluq is manifested in many ways. It may just be the smile that you manifest on your face when you meet your brother. It occurs in the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن ألقى أخاك بوجه طلق أو بوجه طليق كما في رواية. That do not belittle any of the righteous actions the Prophet ﷺ said, even if it is to meet your brother with a smiling face. And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, of course, is the beautiful, perfect example that we follow as it relates to husn al-khuluq. How the Prophet ﷺ was with his companions, how he was in terms of generosity, in terms of his behavior with them, his speaking to them, his manner of addressing them, him loving to bring surur and enter happiness upon them, him disliking that sadness be brought to them. Many, many examples, ayyuhal ikhwah. And sometimes the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Messenger was generous, never would a person approach the Messenger of Allah and ask him, except that if he had it, he would give. And in some occasions, Prophet ﷺ would remain silent due to the fact that from his nature was to be generous. But he may remain silent because of another factor. As occurs in that hadith that Sheikh Nasir mentions in Silsila, that on an occasion in one of the battles, Abu Qatada, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, that he was ferocious in battle and in fighting on the battlefield. And so after the battle, He approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, indeed I killed 20 men on the battlefield. And there was a man that stood up to me and came against me, and I took my sword and I struck him between his neck and his collarbone, and he killed him." He said, and then naturally he passed away, but I did not take his salab. I did not take his salab. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Man qatala qatilan falahu salabu." He said that whomsoever kills an individual, yani on the battlefield, then for him is his salab. Anybody familiar with the hadith? "Man qatala qatilan falahu salabu." That is, whomsoever kills an individual, then you can take the spoils from him. So whatever he has with him, you may take. Ya'ani, you can take his armor, you can take his sword if he has a nice sword with a ya'ani. You can take it. Anything that you want from him is yours. Spoils of war immediately. So the spoils of war of two types: the salab, and then the general booty that is gathered after the war. The general spoils that is gathered after the war, which the Prophet ﷺ divided in a particular way. But it is permissible when a person is on the battlefield to take the salab from the one that you killed. Whatever he has of niceties, you can have. So he said, "O Messenger of Allah, I was on the battlefield. One of them came to me and I struck him between his neck and his shoulder blade. I killed him. But in haste, I left his salab. Can you find him, O Messenger of Allah, that I may take his salab?" Yani, because he himself possibly didn't even remember which one it was, but the Messenger of Allah would have known. And so the narrator, he mentioned, "Fasakata Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And so he remained quiet. Hasab ilmi was Ubay ibn Ka'ab. He said he remained quiet and he didn't speak. And so a man came and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, when Abu Qatada made the statement," a man came and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I took his salab. Then would you not, O Messenger, look for something from the salab to give to Abu Qatada?" Anybody read that? It must have been nice. He said, "Will you not then look for something to give to Abu Qatada?" Are we clear with what's happening here? So Abu Qatada killed the man, but somebody else took the booty, took the spoils. And so the man came and said, "It was me, O Messenger of Allah. I took it. But is it possible, yeah, I can keep it, and that you look for something else to give to him?" So the Prophet ﷺ remained silent, because the Prophet ﷺ, Ikhwan, was more generous than Rih al-Mursal, as Ibn Abbas mentioned, that he was more generous than the blowing wind. If you ask him, I give you. But here, the haqq in actuality is Abu Qatada's. And so Abu Qatada asked for it, and now he's taking it, but he's asking for something else. So the Prophet ﷺ remained silent. Was he waiting for the wahiya? Allahu a'lam. But he remained silent, didn't want to say anything. Umar radiallahu anhu was present. Umar heard what was taking place. So Umar stopped, looked, he listened, he saw the Prophet ﷺ was quiet. Then he said, "La wallahi." He said, "No, by Allah, you would not take the possession of a lion from the lions of Allah and keep it for yourself." And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began to laugh when Umar made that statement. Yani, that was actually what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to say, but from his husnul khuluq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just remained silent, didn't respond immediately. Here, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, we see that the Messenger and the many examples of the Prophet ﷺ with his companions, Prophet ﷺ with his wives, you see beautiful examples of husnul khuluq. And that husnul khuluq, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he said, will cause a man to reach the level of the person who makes siyam and who makes qiyam. Na'am, another one of the ahadith that indicates, ikhwan, a person, or will aid a person in working smarter and carrying out righteous actions that are short or small in terms of the action itself, but have great reward. That which we mentioned at the beginning of this dars. Man ghada ila al-masjid, whomsoever goes to the masjid, as the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لا يريد إلا خير ليعلمه أو ليتعلمه أو يعلمه. He does not intend except good, either to learn it or to teach it. Then he has the ajr of hajj, of a person who makes hajj tamman, يعني completely, complete hajj. Likewise, from the great actions that have within them huge reward. And listen to this hadith, ayyuhal ikhwa. This hadith, the hadith of Aws ibn Aws, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and this is as it relates to Yawm al-Jumu'ah. He said, man ightasala Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Man ightasala Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Wa ghassala wa bakkar. Wa abtakar. Wa dana wa istama'a wa ansat. كان له بكل خطوة يخطوها أجر سنة سيامها وقيامها. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and listen to this every time you consider Jumu'ah. He said that whomsoever makes ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, he said, وغسل, washes himself well, وَبَكَّرَ وَبْتَكَرَ, he leaves early, leaves out early, and heads to Jumu'ah. وَدَنَا, he comes close to the Imam. وَاسْتَمَعَ وَأَنْصَتْ, he comes close and he listens and remains quiet. So listen to what he does. غَسَلَ, غَسَلَ, اِغْتَسَلْ, وَغَسَلْ, وَبَكَّرَ وَبْتَكَرْ, وَدَنَا وَاسْتَمَعْ وَأَنْصَتْ. Yani simple affairs that you will carry out ordinarily each Jumu'ah. Except here, leaving out early, yani making the ghusl, making it well, leaving out early, going to the masjid, sitting close to the imam, as close as you can, listening and remaining quiet. If you do so, listen to the ajr al-azim that is based upon that. He said, كَانَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ يَخْتُوهَا Ajrusana. He has for every step that he takes 1 year's reward. Siyamuha wa qiyamuha. Praying and fasting for 1 year. Per step. Per step. Makes ghusl, leaves out early, sits close to the imam, listens and is quiet. For every step that he takes, he receives the reward of a year standing in salah, year's qiyam, yani qiyam al-layl, and a year fasting. Every step. Now, likewise, from the great rewards, ikhwan, that are present within certain actions, is that which is related to the affair of the janazah. Witnessing the janazah, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, as occurs in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu in the Sahihain, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Man shahida janazatan hatta yusalla alayha falahu qirat." That whomsoever witnesses a janazah until the prayer is made over the body, then he has a qirat. And if he follows the body, then he follows the procession until it is buried, فَلَهُ قِرَاطَانِ, he has two qirat. And so the companions, they asked question, what would they ask? What is a qirat, O Messenger of Allah? Sent. What is a qirat, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مِثْلُ الْجَبَلَيْنِ الْعَظِيمَيْنِ, he said, they are like two great mountains. And in another word, version, he mentions, أَصْغَرُهَا مِثْلُ أُهُد, the smallest of them like Uhud. Just for witnessing the janazah. And this is something, ikhwana, we don't have as many janazahs here. But if you go to Umrah, you make Hajj, Virtually every Salah, Masjid al-Nabawi, Masjid al-Haram, there's a janazah after it. And we see so many people as a prayer is over, stand up and leave. And there's a janazah over numerous bodies, per Salah, ordinarily. But individual stands up and leaves, walking away from Jabalaini, Azimain, of reward, and not even realizing it. And so, again, ikhwan, it is imperative that the believer works smarter. Another one of the actions that one may carry out is to give sadaqah from kasb and from one's earnings that are halal and tayyib, good earnings. In that regard, we have the hadith of Abi Hurairah in the Sahihain. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Man tasaddaqa bi'adli tamrin min kasbin tayyib, min kasbin tayyib." That whomsoever gives sadaqah, the likes of a tamar, a date, from kasbin tayyib, from good earnings, clean earnings, pure earnings, وَلَا يَقْبَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will not accept that which is طَيِّبُ, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُهَا بِيَمِينِهِ, then indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept it with his right hand, ثُمَّ يُرَبِّيهَا لِصَاحِبِهَا كَمَا يُرَبَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلُوَّهُ حَتَّى تَكُونَ مِثْلَ الْجَبَلِ. He said, then Allah Azza wa Jal will accept it with his right hand. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will accept it with his right hand. And then he will nurture it. And then he will nurture it. And the Prophet ﷺ explained what is intended by nurturing it. Then he will nurture it in the same way that one of you nurtures his young horse, until it becomes like a mountain. Until it becomes like a mountain. And so the person maybe may have given that sadaqah 10 years ago. Doesn't even remember it. Somebody came and asked him for a pound. And a pound, ikhwan, now, buying one date. How many dates you can buy for a pound? The Prophet ﷺ said here, one date. How many dates you can buy for a pound, ikhwan? 1 pound. Unless it's them big medjool dates, which you probably get 2 of them for a pound. But how many dates effectively are you going to buy for a pound? Sukkari, barhi, khulas. For 1 pound, how much are you going to receive? The Prophet ﷺ said one date. Allah Azza wa Jal accepts it with his right hand and continues to nurture it. And you are unaware of what is taking place. But you gave it sincerely. And this is, ikhwan, returns back to what we mentioned earlier, al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah. You gave it sincerely, lillah. Nobody even knew you gave it. And so somebody stopped you in the shop as you was leaving the shop. You know, bro, you got 1 pound. I just want something to drink, to be honest with you. Want just a pound. You give him, he could be a crackhead. It is possible. Lakin, tukhlis niyatak. Give him the pound. Lillah. Inshallah is not a crackhead. Inshallah really actually genuinely wants something to drink. Give him the pound. Unless it yaghlib ala run, it overwhelms your suspicions that it is going to be used for drugs. Overwhelms your suspicions. And sometimes there are factors that indicate that. Yani, you saw him yesterday, like a statue by the stoplights. And now today is asking you for a pound. The likelihood is he's going to buy some. Now, but as long as that isn't the case, yahi wallahi, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I just need a pound. Give him the pound. Lillah. And forget about it. Give him the pound with sincerity and forget. Forget. Leave it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will nurture your sadaqah if you are sincere. Allah Azza wa Jalla will nurture that sadaqah the same way that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that one date is nurtured until it becomes like a mountain. You imagine that every day you give a pound. Just a pound. Just 1 pound every day. And that is continually occurring this nurturing and it becoming like a mountain that is continually occurring per day. And so each week you have seven mountains of reward a week. You know, the same way that the businessman talks about his money that is in there, he has in an offshore account, and his good dividends that he's getting off certain trades. That is how we should be speaking and dealing and thinking. But with righteous actions. Pound a day you give it in sadaqah. £5 a day you give it in sadaqah. Poor guy here, somebody in need there, you just give him. Stop worrying about your money. Stop thinking about your money that you need this and you need that. This is something that England and the West nurtures us upon. Count every penny and you worry about every penny and you don't want to give away any penny. You work hard for the money. Yahi, Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the money. Give it lillah, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, Ibn Adam, anfiq unfaq alayk. Oh, Ibn Adam, give and I will give to you. Believe that. Ya'ani, believe with yaqeen that Allah Azza wa Jal has said, if you give, Allah will give to you. And you'll see that being the case. A man who is generous, a man who gives in sadaqah, a man who lends. Just as the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that if a person lends the same amount to an individual twice, alone, this is not sadaqah, alone, then he has written for him the same amount in sadaqah as a reward. So you lend a man £1,000 twice. You do that twice, he gives it you back twice. Allah Azza wa Jal writes for you £1,000 in sadaqah as a reward. Have to work smarter, ikhwan. Our time is short in the dunya. Likewise, from the righteous actions and from the great deeds that will bring to the believer great reward is that which occurs with the recitation of certain ayat and certain verses. And from them, of course, ikhwan, surah ayat al-Kursi. In that regard, we have the hadith of Abi Umama radiallahu anhu, who mentioned, man qara'a ayat al-Kursi fi dubri kulli salah, yani kulli salat al-maktuba, lam yamna'hu min dukhuli al-jannati illa an yamut. He said that whomsoever recites Ayatul Kursi at the end of each of his daily prayers, yani the written prayers, the compulsory prayers, nothing will prevent him from entering Jannah except that he dies. Except for him to die. The only thing that's stopping him from going to Jannah is death. He hasn't died yet. Rasulullah said at the end of each salah that you recite Surah Ayatul Kursi, nothing will prevent you from entering Jannah except for you to die. Likewise, we have that which is established in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik that was collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and declared sahih by Sheikh Nasir. The statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sa'ala Allah al-jannata thalatha marrat. Qalat al-jannah, Allahumma adkhilhu al-jannah. ومن استجار من النار ثلاث مرات قالت النار اللهم أجره من النار. He said, these are simple actions, ikhwan, that we can do regularly. He said, whosoever asks Allah for Jannah three times, whosoever asks Allah for Jannah three times, then Jannah says, oh Allah, enter him into Jannah. Can he enter him into me? And whomsoever asks Allah to protect him from the fire three times, then the fire says, oh Allah, protect him from me. Three times. And just as we have great reward in the recitation of the likes of Ayatul Kursi, we have protection in that. It occurs in that narration of Ubay ibn Ka'ab on an occasion. He was protecting he had a container or a, like a pantry that had in it dates. And he noticed that on a daily basis, these dates were depleting. And so he set to catch whomsoever it was that was taking the dates. He said, so he found on an occasion a young boy, or what appeared to be a young boy, who appeared to be the age of, he's just, yeah, any coming of age. No beard. And so he said, what are you and who are you? Are you a human or are you a jinn? And so he said, indeed I am a jinn. He said, so show me your hand, give me your hand. He said, so he stretched out his hand, and his hand was like the paw of a dog, with the same type of fur. He said, is this how all of you have been created? He said, verily Allah knows that others from among us were created in different ways. He said, then what has caused you to come here to take from my dates? He said, I heard that you're generous and that you wish to give sadaqah. And indeed I am in need. And so he then said, so what is it then that will protect me from you? And so he responded, Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed, just as occurs with the hadith of Abi Huraira, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed that he is a liar, but he has spoken the truth. Na'am, ayyuhal ikhwatu al-kiram. Many, many actions and many deeds, ikhwan. Perhaps we can make that a separate lecture. But the intent, ayyuhal ikhwa, is that we work smarter with the righteous actions. Our time in the dunya is short and we are busied with the life that we have here in the Western world, ikhwan. And so we have to capitalize upon the likes of these ahadith and the likes of these righteous actions. And so the affair then of the rectification of the dunya and the rectification of the deen returns back to a number of affairs, and we'll round up with a few quotations from some of the people of knowledge. As it relates first and foremost to the affair of the dunya, then there is a statement, or the affair of the deen, then there is a statement, and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions that the affair of the deen as it relates to the dunya, he mentions that the affair of the dunya is not completed except by way of the sultan. Ya'ni, that is, we have that which is related to the dunya and the connection between the abd, the servant, and his lord as it relates to the dunya. But that which completes that connection and that relationship between the servant and his lord is the presence of the sultan. The sultan completes the affairs of the land for him. And we know, ikhwan, living in the Western world, we know the struggle that we have because of the fact that the deen of the proponents and the inhabitants of the land that we live in is not Islam. And so we know the struggle that we have that is completed with the sultan. Of course, in our case, that which is legislated for us is to make hijrah. But as it relates to those who already live in the land of the Muslimin, then Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you with having the sultan that is over you. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentions, يجب أن يعرف أن ولاية أمر الناس من أعظم واجبات الدين بل لا قيام للدين ولا للدنيا إلا به إلا بها فإن بني آدم لا تتم مصلحتهم إلا بالاجتماع لحاجة بعضهم إلى بعض ولا بد لهم عند الاجتماع من رأس. He said that indeed it is imperative that we know that wilaya, that is guardianship over the affairs of the people, is from the greatest of the wajibat of the deen. Rather, he mentioned, there is no established, or one will not establish the deen or the dunya except by way of it. For indeed, Bani Adam, his maslaha and his good is not achieved except by way of ijtima, except by way of coming together. And this ijtima here, this great Imam Sheikh al-Islam is highlighting the importance of coming together and uniting. And so even if we are in a land that doesn't have an Imam that is Muslim, the affair of ijtima still stands. Yani our affairs and our good and our maslaha is greater when we are united, when we are together. And that we come together for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the deen of Allah and for the sunnah and the establishment of the sunnah. That is, ikhwan, from the affairs that we see the deen mentioning from numerous ways and in numerous angles. The reason that we have this command to hear and obey the ruler is because of this ijtima. It's not because of the fact that we are submissive to those who are puppets for the West and so on, as we hear many of the jama'at of takfir and jihad mentioning. But it is that we know that there is a greater goal, a greater asl, a greater foundation that is established by hearing and obeying the ruler. The ruler, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions, this ijtima' requires a ra's. And someone who is the head, when Allah Azza wa Jal establishes a head, then to hear and to obey that head returns back to the affair of ijtima'. Is rectifies the affair of our unity. Know that. And when the ruler is removed, even if the ruler is sinful, look at what occurs. We had people screaming and shouting during the Arab Spring that we had tyrannical ruler in this country, and Libya has a tyrannical ruler, and Iraq has a tyrannical ruler. All of them were removed. So billahi alaykum. The situation got better. You know, we removed the problem, it's gone now. The situation was better. More prosperity for the people. The lands are doing well. Or did we have brigandry and highway robbery and bandits on every corner? What was it that occurred with the removal of those evil rulers? What was it that occurred? That which occurred was what you witnessed. And so, as the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions, never was a ruler removed except, and revolted against, except that which came after it was worse than that which was before it. Historically, this has never occurred. And so we should pay attention to this. When the ruler has been, we have been commanded to obey the ruler for a reason. Because of this ijtima and this unity, and because of unifying under that ruler. And so this ijtima, if we do not have a ruler, then we still work upon the affair of ijtima. And one of the wasaya that we continue to hear Shaykhana Shaykh Rabia mentioning before his passing was that he continually would advise with nabdh asbabul khilaf, removing the reasons and the causes for khilaf, removing the reasons for it, for iftiraq and splitting. And that is when those causes are even valid, that we overlook them and we look at the affair of unity. So what then, ikhwan, if that splitting is caused because of fighting for oneself and defending oneself? What then if that splitting is caused for something other than this greater goal of the establishment of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and ijtima' ala kalimatillah, and ijtima' upon the sunnah? That should be the goal of each and every one of us, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram. Na'am, and so we'll round up then with one or two of the statements of the Salaf in relation to the affairs that have islah, or have in them islah al-deeni and islah al-dunya. In that regard, ikhwan, we have the statement of you have to choose wisely, ikhwan, from these aqwal. Now we have the statement of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, who mentioned mata'ul ghurur, and he is speaking about the many places in the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jalla refers to the dunya as mata'ul ghurur, as a deception, and as passing deception. He said, "Mata'ul ghurur ma yulhika an talabil akhirah."
Pay attention to this, إخوان, because it is مهم جدا. He said, متاع الغرور ما يلهيك عن طلب الآخرة وما لم يلهك وما لم يلهك فليس بمتاع الغرور ولكنه متاع متاع بلاغ إلى ما هو خير من. He said that indeed متاع الغرور, passing deception, is that which diverts you from seeking the akhirah. And so if it is said then, be careful of the dunya, stay away from the dunya, be cautious of the dunya, what are we speaking about? Since Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, wala tansa nasibaka min ad-dunya, and don't forget your portion of the dunya. So when it is said, be careful and cautious of the dunya, what is it that we are cautious of? Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the tabi'in, from the kibar of the tabi'in, he said, mata'u al-ghurur is that which takes you away from seeking the akhirah. And that which does not take you away from seeking the akhirah, then it is not considered mata'u al-ghurur. Now, likewise we have the statement of Yahya ibn Mu'adh, who mentions, rahimahullah, كَيْفَ لَا أُحِبُّ دُنْيَا قُدِّرَ لِي فِيهَا قُوتٌ أَكْتَسِبُ بِهَا حَيَاةٌ أَوْ حَيَاةً أُدْرِكُ بِهَا طَاءَةً أَنَالُ بِهَا الْآخِرَةِ. This is a statement, أيها الإخوة. نعم. Message, إخوان, for the sisters, but also the sisters who are present and will be traveling or returning home or returning alone, then we advise that the sisters leave. It's getting late. Travel will be difficult for you. جزاكم الله خيرا. نعم. Yahya ibn Yahya, he mentions, كيف لا أحب الدنيا? How can I not love a dunya? And pay attention here, إخوان. يعني his statement should be understood in its context. How can I not love a dunya? قدر لي فيها قوت أكتسب بها حياة أدرك بها طاعة أنال بها الآخرة. He said, how can I not love a dunya? That because of it, I'm able to achieve or to maintain life, by way of which I can carry out ta'a, obedience, by way of which I will achieve the akhirah. And so here, Yahya ibn Mu'adh was not saying, alhamdulillah for the dunya, dunya. Rather, he was saying a particular type of dunya. He was speaking about a particular type of dunya. And that is that part of the dunya by way of which you maintain your life, you continue with your life, by way of which you are able to perform ta'a and obedience, by way of which you will obtain the akhirah. And so there is no doubt that there is a portion of your dunya that is used to obtain the akhirah. The akhirah is used by way of and achieved by way of a portion of the dunya. And so he's not saying, ya'ani, the dunya, knock yourself out. Rather, he's saying, from the dunya, there is a portion of the dunya that is khair and that we need. And that, no doubt, ikhwan, reminds us of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam wa kana 'ayshuhu kaffafan wa qanna'ahu Allahu bima ata. Glad tidings to the one who is guided to Islam and his aish or his sustenance is kaffaf, that is, it is sufficient for him. And so the goal is not to be wealthy and become millionaires, all of us, ikhwan, that is a fitna for some of us. Rather, the goal is sufficiency and satisfaction, to be satisfied with that which Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us. So the Prophet ﷺ said, glad tidings to the one who tuba liman hudiya ila al-Islam, the one who is guided to Islam, and his aish, namely that which he lives by way of his means, is sufficient for him, and Allah Azza wa Jal gives him satisfaction. That is the key. The key, ikhwan, is that you're satisfied with that which Allah Azza wa Jal has given to you. If you're satisfied, then know that the dunya that you receive is nothing but khair for you, and you, if you use that particularly with good and for the cause of good. So we round up, ikhwan, with one last statement of Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, as it relates to this dunya, لَيْسَ لِلْعَابِدِينَ مُسْتَرَاحٌ إِلَّا تَحْتَ شَجَرَةِ طُوبَى وَلَا لِلْمُحِبِّينَ قَرَارٌ أَوْ قِرَارٌ قَرَارٌ إِلَّا يَوْمَ الْمَزِيدِ فَمِثْلُ أَوْ فَمَثِّلْ لِقَلْبِكَ الاستراحة تحت شجرة طوبى يهن عليك النصر واستحذر يوم المزيد يهن عليك ما تتحمل من أجلك. He said that indeed there is not for the worshippers rest, true rest, except under the tree of Tuba, except under the tree of Tuba. Just as when Imam Ahmad was asked, Mata yajid al-abd ta'am al-raha, when will the servant find real peace and rest? He said, in the awwal qadamin yada'aha fil jannah. He said, with the first foot that he lays in Jannah. And so Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the worshippers will not find rest except under the tree of Tuba. وَلَا لِلْمُحِبِّينَ قَرَارٌ إِلَّا يَوْمَ الْمَزِيدِ. Neither will they be established except on يَوْمَ الْمَزِيدِ. يَوْمَ الْمَزِيدِ تَعْرِفُونَهُ؟ Anybody familiar with يَوْمَ الْمَزِيدِ? Not familiar with it? Ahsant. Yawm al-Jumu'ah, perhaps yani, futuristically we speak or we mention the hadith, but it is the day of Jumu'ah in Jannah. And it is the day that the Anbiya will be brought close. It is a beautiful hadith, ikhwan. I believe it's either on the website or it's on a Twitter account for anybody who wishes to find it. It's a relatively lengthy hadith. Perhaps we put it up now, ikhwan, question and answer time, and read it. Beautiful hadith. It's the day that the believers, the Anbiya will be close to Allah, the believers will be gathered, and Allah Azza wa Jal will descend. Allah Azza wa Jal will descend, and the believers will be increased. They will see Allah Azza wa Jal, and they will be increased with a reeh, and with a wind that will cause them to become more beautiful, and that will continue forever, eternally. Yeah, it's something you have to consider, ikhwan, which is amazing, eternally. Yeah, they will become more beautiful every week, forever. Yeah, just think about that for a minute. Beauty ordinarily in the dunya, it has a had, it reaches a had. Yani, that's beautiful enough. After that, it's just kind of a variation of different forms of beauty, shades of beauty. But generally, beautiful, generally it has a limit. Every Yawm al-Jumu'ah, the people of Jannah become more beautiful, they go home and they find that their families have become more beautiful. Every Yawm al-Jumu'ah, forever, it increases forever, never ends. And that is something, ikhwan, that is difficult to really, really comprehend. But that is from the reward of Jannah, ikhwan, that we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless us with. And that we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from its inhabitants. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, then he rounds up and he mentions that whomsoever then goes through the difficulty of the dunya, then let him think about reclining under the tree of Tuba. And whomsoever
goes through that which requires something of patience, then let him remember Yawm al-Mazid, the day of perpetual increase. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless us to be from among the inhabitants of Jannah on that day. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى يوفقنا وإياكم بما يحبه ويرضاه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا أيها الإخوة الكرام على حسن الاستماع for your good listening and attentiveness and your mashallah the impressive attendance اللهم بارك يعني I haven't sat in front of a jama'ah of Brits, yani this number for a long time. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward us all, those who have attended and those who have taken the time out, ikhwan, to take something of benefit. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to write this gathering in our scroll of good deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعْ مَالُهُمْ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. بعد الإخوان no questions.